Welcome back to Never Settle. I have a return visitor, storyteller, and guest, inspiring, empowering female, Sophia Wolf. Thanks for coming back on here.
Hey, Sarah. Thank you. I'm so excited to be back.
Our previous conversation and interview, we were talking what got you to the point that you are today of going from homeless to being a high-powered director of sales at a multi-billion dollar company. And I believe this similar mindset and path of resilience, of, you know, speaking up and really taking charge of your own life is a big part of what got you there in your career life as well. But today's topic is more health related. So I'd like to intro first with, you know, it's on the topic of PCOS. I'd love if you can share with the audience what that is exactly, and then what the doctor said you should do, because that's what Never Settle's all about. We take the shoulds and we shove them in the trash.
Yeah, absolutely. And it took me a long time to get there, but PCOS is a syndrome, polycystic ovary syndrome. It is the leading cause of infertility for women in the United States. A lot of different symptoms that you can get diagnosed, but it can be difficult to diagnose. For me, I actually self-diagnosed because I got a few of the symptoms separately and was diagnosed with hirsutism, which is one of the symptoms. I actually had actual cysts on my ovaries when I was young, like 15, 16, and they were extremely painful. I was getting ultrasounds, making sure they weren't going to burst, which thankfully mine haven't, but I've met a lot of other women with PCOS that have had them burst, and it's an extremely painful experience. And then I also have like the classic body of someone that has PCOS with weight gain around the middle. I've always been super active, like very into sports my entire life. I've always eaten really healthy. And for most of my life, people just made me feel like I was fat and lazy, which was, it happened really early on for me. I started gaining the weight when I was maybe 10. So there was just a lot of negativity around the weight gain from doctors, around my family. And then when I was in my mid-20s, I had an OBGYN appointment and just said like, hey, do you think I might have this thing called PCOS? I've been doing a bunch of research on this. And my OBGYN was like, oh yeah, of course you have this. I was like, thank you so much for communicating that with me. And I was already on spironolactone, which is a medication that is used as like a diuretic. I was on that already for the hirsutism, and they put me on birth control super early to manage it. And that was basically what they told me was the only way I was ever going to be able to manage my symptoms. And I was on that for, you know, probably 10 years before I really started to think like there has to be a different way to do this.
Wow. So at 10, I mean, just to break that down a little bit, at 10, one, that's a really pivotal age to be going through both the body changes and the pressure from family and doctors. What had you think, let me do some research on this? Because it's a young age to start doing research and then to bring that up to your doctor. What had that gut feeling for you?
I thought it was bullshit. I started to really think about the fact that I had been prescribed Adderall when I was 13, like 60 milligrams.
Wow.
I had been prescribed birth control when I was 15, well before I was sexually active. I just took all of these things and said like, yep, I'll continue to do that. And I really had a lot of emotional problems as well. So I was on antidepressants too for a long time. And at one point I just started to think like, you know, my body had felt better in times of my life when I had like the least amount of stress. So when I was like traveling a lot, when I was in Southeast Asia and I was eating really healthy, I noticed like a very, very large difference in my body. So when I got back from that journey, I was about 26, and that's when I really started to dive into this. And just for me, it was a lot about the weight, to be totally honest with you. I think, sure, you know, at the time that we grew up, like the body image, all of these things, people telling you that you need to look a certain way. And I've just always been a bigger girl. And I just got to a point where I was so sick of accepting all of those things as Bible. And so I needed to start doing research on my own to see if there was maybe a different way. And I started to look into different kinds of medicine. But it was really just, like you said, a gut feeling for me that this has to be nonsense. Like, there's no way that there's just one way to look at this. And throughout all of my travel, I've seen like people be healed with different types of medicine. And I just figured there has to be another way.
So it was when you were traveling and eating healthier, what was the food that you thought or think that made that, you know, the different impact on you?
Yeah, I think, and this relates to the last conversation that we had, and something that I'm extremely passionate about is I think there's, in the US specifically, so little education around how to eat even just like at the most basic level, something balanced. And I realized like how many chemicals are in the food that we eat, how much packaged food people eat. And even for me, as someone who's always been fairly health conscious, even things that I thought were healthy are completely greenwashed. You think that they're healthy, but they're absolutely not. And when I was traveling, it was just a lot more like organic, in the way that not like organic, everything's being marked as organic as the grocery store, but I was actually eating on farms, and I was learning about, you know, how people were doing different types of agriculture and different types, like different places in the world, and how some food's available there and some food isn't. But when I grew up, like being super poor, we got food from the food bank, and it is really depressing, like the kind of food that you can get, because it's all super processed. Like, all of the peanut butter has, you know, hydrogenated oils at the yin yang. There's so much sugar in everything. And it's a lot cheaper to feed your family on McDonald's when you have no money than to build a balanced plate. And there's zero education around that, especially for people that are low income. So that's how I, again, it was just another thing I was told, like, this is the way you need to eat. And I never questioned it, but now I see how detrimental it really is.
So what were the changes? And I agree with you on every level that you were just sharing. What changes did you implement? One, for PCOS, and then two, as far as for dietary, balancing out your dietary needs, because they're both very interrelated.
Yeah. Well, first I met with a lot of wacky nutritionists. I was definitely trying to go the budget route at first, just to try to find someone that, you know, could maybe work. And a lot of people don't know how to handle a hormone imbalance like this. So I got a lot of really bad advice at first, but I'll try anything. So I was doing some weird stuff for sure at first. But when I found the person, I did a ton of research. I worked with this woman named Jillian, who is amazing. And for me, learning more about how, like, biologically my cells are reacting to the food that's in my body. And for people with PCOS, you basically go on what's called the blood sugar roller coaster. So if you're not eating balanced, which is really important with like fats, carbs, protein, fiber, and making sure that that is like a balanced meal, then you're basically sending your blood sugar haywire. You get those heavy increases and then really big crashes. And then your body is under so much stress that it's creating a ton of cortisol. And it's really hard for you to kind of clear out of your system, which causes a lot of the weight gain, just huge stress responses. So for me, the biggest changes that I made were actually, I would say, like, surprisingly, the diet was the easiest part of it. Just learning about, I have this thing on my refrigerator called the balance plate, and I build all of my plates based off of that. But it's eating every 3 to 4 hours for me, making sure that it's balanced, making sure I'm never going too long without a meal. But the biggest factor was the lifestyle changes that I had to make. Being somebody who's like very much a go-getter, that comes with a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress. So I really had to chill out, like, very seriously. I think we've talked about before with changing from HIIT workouts to Pilates and strength training, really supporting my circadian rhythm, making sure I'm getting sunlight in the mornings, making sure I'm going to bed and getting up at the same time every day. And all of that changes how I digest my food, how everything is going to make me feel, how much inflammation I have. And that was probably the biggest changer for me.
So it's a lot of the routines and habits formulated from the education. You know, it starts with the deeper understanding, and you're pretty much faced with like either you're going to stick to taking drugs for your entire life, which you know there's a better
Exactly.
way, or you make the changes. So it was really the choice that you made to take that alternative, where it comes to the consistency of routine, and then also having, you know, it's your game plan ready to go. And
I
I
think
know, please go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I think going back to the doctor's piece of it, one of the biggest like one of the most impactful conversations was when I went to an endocrine. It was really highly sought after when I lived in Boston because I had gone off birth control. I could have probably planned it better, but I just thought, like, this is nonsense. I'm getting off birth control. I'm not going to keep pumping these hormones into my body. Now I'm on antidepressants because everything's going completely haywire.
Haywire, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I have to stop this and I'll figure it out after. So I went to an endocrine. I said, like, this is what I'm dealing with. I have PCOS. I would love to manage it holistically. What are my options? And they basically laughed at me and said, that's insane. Like, you absolutely need to get back on birth control if you ever want to have children. You're ruining your body. And to go to the nutritionist, you had to meet with endocrine first and get a referral. And I said, do you think maybe I could speak to the nutritionist? And they said, we have to test you for diabetes first. And I was like, excuse me. So I had to get tested for diabetes. And if I didn't have diabetes, I couldn't speak to the nutritionist, which was the moment where I was like, this is total bullshit. Like, there has to be a different way to deal with this. And they basically said, we don't know what you want us to do for you if you're not going to do what we say. Like, you're kind of SOL.
Wow. Now, what? I mean, I think I know the answer, sadly, but the reason for their runaround, for another word, but their resistance again against, you know, what you're asking. What do you think it comes down to?
Profit, I think, for
I
exactly. I'm
agree with
not
you. I didn't
buying, yeah,
want to just say
I'm
it,
not
but
buying
yeah.
the drugs. I'm
Yep.
not paying into the system. I don't have diabetes. That's not something that's going to make them X amount of dollars. And honestly, the nutritionist was the most expensive thing I've ever bought in my life. I almost had a heart attack when I bought it, but I figured, like, it's either this or, probably multiple rounds of IVF in the future and probably diabetes medication and all of these other things that I'm going to have to spend money on. But this is an investment in my overall health. But when I was done with my program with my nutritionist, I'm done. She's taught me all of the tools that I need to live a healthy life. And that's not profitable for, big pharma.
Long term, yes, completely. I said the same thing too. So, you know, I'm a cancer survivor, and how many different, now we eat, you know, anti-cancer foods every single day. It's like blueberries and spinach and cruciferous vegetables, even though sometimes it like bloats our stomach and it's just like, yep, but it's anti-cancer. And it's, we talk about this a lot in our household where it's, there's no money in advertising that broccoli is anti-cancer, but there's big money in chemotherapy drugs, you know, six figures for each treatment. So exactly to what you're saying, where there's money to be made, there's going to be an inner workings of the system. So what would you say if anybody is in a similar position, you know, and they have that same kind of gut feeling, what kind of inner power or message would you offer to them to make their own authoritative choice? Because there's also that responsibility of what if I don't choose the right thing for me? But there's also a freedom in it too. So what would you say to someone?
I would say trust your gut. You can always try something, and if it doesn't feel right to you, you can go back. I'm not saying that it's all harm in like drugs that you have to take. There's been time periods, even recently in my life, where this is the healthiest I've ever been, but I've had to be on antidepressants because of, something really horrible that happened in my life. And so I'm not too proud to say that there are time periods when you need to do certain things for yourself. But I had a gut check at that point that said, am I too proud? Am I too holistic to do this? Or am I going to let this kill me? And I would say trusting your gut and being brave enough to try and to go against the status quo and say, hey, I think there might be another option for me, but do as much research as you possibly can, because especially nowadays, PCOS is becoming more more like mainstream, I suppose, in terms of the knowledge around it. Like when I started this, nobody really knew that much about it. So there's also a lot of people that are still trying to profit off of that. So there's TikTok accounts and there's people saying this is the supplement that you need to take. And that's just not the way that it goes. I did an insane amount of testing with my nutritionist. I did blood tests, stool tests, Dutch testing, and we tested over and over and over again. And only with that information is how you should be doing a supplement regimen or deciding what you put into or take out of your diet. So the research aspect of it is really, really important. And if you're going to dive into it and try to find answers on your own, it's hard work. It's tough, but it's important to really research and make sure you're doing the best thing for your body.
So that was going to lead to my next question is it bio-individual for each person as to their solution? It's not a one size fits all.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything is individualized for sure. I think there's some base layer things that a lot of people, if they have certain symptoms, you can kind of guess. But when I told my nutritionist that a different nutritionist had put me on a supplement regimen without doing any testing, she was absolutely horrified.
That's the other amazing thing is how you hear one thing from one doctor and then something else from another doctor. And this recently happened to me where I was going to a doctor who's a gynecologist, and what they offered to me was a surgery. And I was like, you know, I'm not 100% sure about this. And thankfully, you know, same as you were saying, it was like that gut check that said, I think we want to get a second opinion. So when Chad and I went back for a second opinion, they're like, you don't need to do that. You're completely fine. And here's other options for, and it was like, okay. So I don't have to get surgery, because if I don't have to, then I'm all for that. And I think it's that empowering piece of one, what you're saying is to listen for that gut check. And then also your words, to be brave enough to make action on it too, because a doctor's not going to always, not all doctors, but it's not always going to be the option presented to yourself, but it is your personal health responsibility to speak up and say something about it or to question it. And that's not always easy to do, but you know, that goes back to what we were saying in the beginning of this conversation, is how you face life throughout is to stand up and be strong and to make those harder decisions. And I know that that's also empowered you to speak up and be like, you know what? Nope, not taking this, and I'm going to choose a different way. So to that, you're also inspiring many others who are listening to take forth that torch and question and to make other different decisions. So in that we'll, you know, we'll wrap on this for two parts. One is for the self-care piece. I know we talked on, you know, different kinds of exercises and such, but what are three main self-care must-haves for you to maintain, you know, your overall well-being?
Yeah. For me, any type of like meditation or mindful work is really important, especially with the high stress job that I have. I notice a huge difference throughout my day. If I don't just take 10 minutes in the morning to set aside some time to breathe, to meditate, I use the Calm app. I make it as easy as possible on myself. And then just like having check-ins throughout the day, like, am I getting really stressed out about this? Because it takes a while for your mind to catch up to what your body has already caught on to, for sure. The Body Keeps the Score is a great book about trauma and how, you know, that manifests in your body. And it takes a long time to undo a lot of what you know. The second for me is the kind of movement that I do. So strength training, Pilates, yoga, and walking are big for me. It was a big change from changing from HIIT to doing that, but it's a lot more supportive for my body and for like overall body composition as well. For if I do have goals, which there's nothing wrong with, you know, having body goals and wanting to look good, like even if it's purely vanity, but if that is coming at the expense of your overall health, that is what's not okay.
Well
and
put.
Then I think the third for me too is just the routine piece. That is massive. Going to bed and waking up at the same time, you really just notice how much your body like recovers a lot more. You just have more control over everything. And I have like a few things built into my morning routine and my evening routine. I try to make it as easy as possible. And those have been probably the biggest drivers for me.
I know you're in good hands with routine because you've been working with Chad for sure. And that's what we're all about. We do the same thing here too. Where it's wake up in the mornings, evenings, same time. And it's so true. It's like the routine that you give your body and how that mentally prepares you for the day ahead and also for a better night's sleep. Never settle when it comes to health. What does that mean for you?
I think, you know, just going back to what we said before, be brave, be bold. And don't take anyone's answer as Bible. You are a lot smarter and more capable than you might think you are. And doctors can feel super intimidating, but just always take that extra time to think, does this feel right for me? And if not, explore other options. Even if it's just another doctor, you might get another opinion.
So, so powerful. Sophia, thank you so much for sharing this. Geez, so inspiring. And it's just all my kind of language that I love and speak as well. So thank you so much for sharing your experience and empowering others to be brave out there.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me again.
That wraps up another episode of Never Settle. Subscribe to this podcast for more empowering stories and those who are challenging status quo.